Welcome to Counter Apologetics.
Welcome to Counter Apologetics. I'm your host, Emerson Green. Get your sacrificial babies ready because this Halloween bonus episode is about the Satanic Panic. I'm going to talk briefly about the Satanic Panic, which turned out to be a pretty depressing topic, so there's some comic relief at the end. The Satanic Panic is a comical but tragic example of what can go wrong when you take Christianity seriously. We should be familiar with this case because I'm not so sure we actually learned our lesson from it, or the lesson has been applied too narrowly. This moral panic occurred because mythology was taken to be true, along with some dangerous pseudoscience within psychology and a serious lack of critical thinking on the part of Christian fundamentalists, law enforcement, and psychologists. And a serious lack of critical thinking is nothing new for Christian fundamentalists. All we can do is take them less and less seriously, which is the point of this podcast, but everyone else should still try to learn from the hysteria that gripped the United States for 3 decades. For nearly 30 years, Christian fundamentalists in the United States basically lost their minds and thought that satanic cults were everywhere and sacrificing babies left and right, in addition to running the society in their vast underground satanic network. And as always, there were Christian opportunists who cashed in on the moral panic. Mike Warnke and John Todd, along with other commercially successful Christians, fanned the flames of the hysteria, wrote books, and toured Christian churches all over the U.S., and made lots of money in the process. They became famous by claiming to have some kind of personal experience with satanic cults, witches, or some form of satanic ritual abuse. Both were lying, and both were debunked easily by skeptical investigators, including Christian investigative journalists. Mike Warnke claimed to be a former Satanist who converted to Christianity. He visited churches across the country and told gruesome stories of children in Satanism who he had rescued, right before passing an offering plate around the room to help fund his humanitarian work. And in reality, he'd been a Christian his whole life, which was discovered by a Christian publication called Cornerstone Magazine. The stories, like his book, were complete fabrications, and he kept all the money for himself. John Todd claimed to have been born into a family of witches who, along with the Illuminati, controlled world events. His ideas meshed nicely with Christian conspiracy theories at the time, as this was the era when evangelical Christians were organizing as a political force. He was also exposed to be an outright fraud by Cornerstone Magazine, along with Christianity Today. And it should be noted that the two publications only bothered to investigate his wild claims after he accused major churches of being funded by the Illuminati. The National Center on Child Abuse and Neglect funded a study in 1994 examining over 12,000 claims of satanic abuse and couldn't find a single one that held up under scrutiny. The therapists reporting the alleged satanic abuse often gave evidence like the children were afraid of satanic symbols. The only physical evidence that was ever presented were scars, which could have been caused by anything. If you're looking for an excellent short book on the subject, you can look up Remembering Satan by Lawrence Wright. He focuses on one case, that of the Ingram family. He argues that the pseudoscience of recovered memory played a critical role in fueling the panic. Erica and Julie Ingram began making a series of accusations of sexual abuse against their father, Paul Ingram. The accusations snowballed from molestation in their childhood at first to torture and rape, and finally, later, to bizarre satanic rituals involving orgies, ritualistic acts of rape and murder, and of course, eating babies. To understand the Satanic Panic, you have to learn a little bit about how human memory operates. Psychologist Elizabeth Loftus, who studies memory, has done work that shows our memories work differently than our intuitions would lead us to believe.
Many people believe that memory works like a recording device. You just record the information, then you call it up and play it back when you want to answer questions or identify images. But decades of work in psychology has shown that this just isn't true. Our memories are constructive. They're reconstructive. Memory works a little bit more like a Wikipedia page.
Elizabeth Loftus studies false memories, when people either remember things that didn't happen or remember them differently from the way they really were. She and other psychologists discovered that these false memories can be easily implanted in someone's mind and demonstrated that false memories can be created in subjects reliably.
In another study, we showed a simulated accident where a car went through an intersection with a stop sign, and if we asked a question that insinuated it was a yield sign, many witnesses told us they remember seeing a yield sign at the intersection, not a stop sign. We arranged for people to have a very stressful experience. So in a study done in Tennessee, researchers planted the false memory that when you were a kid, you nearly drowned and had to be rescued by a lifeguard. And in a study done in Canada, researchers planted the false memory that when you were a kid, something as awful as being attacked by a vicious animal happened to you, succeeding with about half of their subjects. And in a study done in Italy, researchers planted the false memory, when you were a kid, you witnessed demonic possession. And so what these studies are showing is that when you feed people misinformation about some experience that they may have had, you can distort or contaminate or change their memory.
There were some similarities in these accusations of satanic ritual abuse. Something she noticed was that most of these situations involved some form of psychotherapy. Often the therapists believed in something called recovered memory, where patients remembered events in their childhood that they had repressed. They believed that in order to deal with trauma, their patients had repressed the painful memories, and they could be recovered with certain techniques. Loftus and other psychologists discovered that the methods that therapists had been using to recover repressed memories were perfect techniques for implanting false memories, as their experiments demonstrated. Therapists had been inadvertently implanting false memories in their patients using the techniques that Loftus had shown to cause entirely fabricated memories to take root.
Some patients were going into therapy with one problem. Maybe they had depression, eating disorder, and they were coming out of therapy with a different problem. Extreme memories for horrific brutalization, sometimes in satanic rituals, sometimes involving really bizarre and unusual elements. One woman came out of psychotherapy believing that she'd endured years of ritualistic abuse where she was forced into a pregnancy and that the baby was cut from her belly. But there were no physical scars or any kind of physical evidence that could have supported her story. Just because somebody tells you something and they say it with confidence, just because they say it with lots of detail, just because they express emotion when they say it, it doesn't mean that it really happened. We can't reliably distinguish true memories from false memories. We need independent corroboration.
One of Paul Ingram's daughters made the first of the charges against him during a counseling session after a highly emotional night at a fundamentalist Christian summer retreat. Techniques that we now know to reliably implant false memories were used by psychologists and law enforcement throughout the investigation. And they didn't hide that fact. There were no qualms about it because a lot of this research came about as a result of things like this. Meanwhile, Paul Ingram received a 20-year prison sentence. Kenneth Lanning of the FBI in the Behavioral Science Instruction and Research Unit said, quote, "The fact is that far more crime and child abuse has been committed by zealots in the name of God, Jesus, and Muhammad than has ever been committed in the name of Satan. Many people don't like that statement, but few can argue with it." End quote. Religious superstition and recovered memory created and sustained the satanic panic. None of this could have happened without a belief in a demon-haunted world, courtesy of religion. I'll leave you with something a little less heavy. Celebration of Halloween is actually a debate within Christian communities, and there's a goldmine of found comedy just by searching Christian and Halloween on YouTube. So I'd like to leave you all with a montage of the Halloween debate among Christians. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Let me tell you what Halloween really is, since it's coming up.
Should Christians and can Christians celebrate Halloween?
Is it okay to celebrate Halloween?
Should Christian girls celebrate Halloween?
I think we know intuitively there's something not quite right with Halloween.
Because Halloween is about bringing back the occult.
That's what Halloween's all about. Witches and potions and spells and all that kind of stuff.
Pagan, satanic holiday.
Halloween is filled with darkness.
Glorification of evil.
Halloween has become a night when the devil rejoices.
The Lord has warned us not to play around with these occultic ways.
Witchcraft.
Because Halloween was all about human sacrifice, and stop denying it. Stop it!
Babies are being murdered. Human sacrifices, animal sacrifices, ritual abuse.
From the occult, witchcraft, and paganism.
The occult, the demonic, witches.
Because we have witches and spiritists and occultists today. Demons are real. I want to say that right off the bat.
Death, ghosts, devils.
Paganism, witchcraft, mediums. Sacrificing children.
Don't let your babies grow up to be demon worshipers.
Halloween is Satan's night. It's the night for the devil.
Halloween, when we celebrate that and worship Satan.
They're Satanists. I mean, these people are everywhere who are Luciferian or Satanists. Period. Satan is real. Period. Period. End of story.